The following program is made possible thanks to the support of the Cane Area Development Center and the West Penn Power Sustainable Energy Fund.
The West Penn Power Sustainable Energy Fund is undergoing continued work on its retrofit commercial passive house at 63 Fraley Street in Cane. In each weekly installment of this series on WXCY, Kate Kennedy, Executive Director of the Cane Area Development Center, speaks with local people who have been involved with the ongoing work of this ultra-energy efficient building and the progress being made.
Hi everyone, I'm Kate Kennedy and I'm here today with Stefan Tanner to talk about the Cane Passive House. And he has a really unique angle and contribution to this project. I know many of you have seen the big openings in the front of the window that have been covered with plastic be revealed. So now they're just kind of holes, but that's because the windows are going in, and these are not just your everyday windows. These are very specific passive house windows that have a lot of thought and structure behind them. So, our guest today is one of the owners of the company where this window is made and brought in. It's called Tanner Windows and Doors, and he's going to talk with us about what this means for the Passive House movement at large and in Cane in particular. So thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me.
We are so glad. So before we get into the details of the Passive House, let's talk a little bit about you. So where were you born and where are you living now?
Well, I'm born in Switzerland, in the German part of Switzerland, and I'm living now near the Twin Cities in Minnesota.
And what brought you to Minnesota?
My wife.
Oh. And how did you
Blonde, blue eye, beautiful, Scandinavian heritage. Female.
Well, we're really glad that you came to the United States because you've already had a big impact. And can you kind of tell us a little bit about your connection with the Passive House, how you got involved with this certification and this idea of Passive House building?
I sure can. So I started as an architect many years ago, and I came back to this country in the late 90s, early 2000. With the interest in sustainability and architecture. And my major interest at the time was climate change. And as such, I had the opportunity in 2005-06 to work on a building for Concordia Language Villages. That's part of Concordia College out of Fargo-Moorhead, Minnesota, North Dakota. And They were trying to build a building, a living sustainability educational building, like you call it, a camp in their camp in northern Minnesota. And as such, they were looking for ideas what that could be. And we very quickly pointed out to them, because they were funded through the German Foundation for the Environment, that that building should probably be built to the leading edge German energy standard at the time. And that was Passive House. So with that, we started to connect with people who were doing already Passive Houses in North America. There was only one person, that was Katrin Klingberg. And then we had, of course, direct direction to the Passive House Institute, because they also were funded through the German Foundation of the Environment, just like the project. So we then ultimately built the first certified Passive House here in the Americas that opened in 2006.
That's pretty incredible. So you really have been seeing how this has taken a movement in the United States from the first house that you, or the first building you helped create, to now this happening here in Cane, Pennsylvania. So I think that's very exciting to hear your history and to have you here today helping us with our project. So what is it that you do in a typical day? So you have this windows and doors passive house business, but you also have your architectural background. So what is it that you do in your daily business life?
Yeah, so I have numerous hats I wear. I wear these days a consulting hat under the name of Intep. So that's where I help typically organizations that can't sell their building problems away with leading edge, sustainable, carbon neutral strategies, and then implementation planning. And that can be cities or colleges and so on. The second thing I do is with my oldest son, we import building products out of the need that, like you, there are many people now in North America. In the beginning, it was very few. We all missed the critical components like windows or ventilation system. We also import vacuum insulation and other leading edge technology from Europe. But nonetheless, we started to help people who wanted to do this with building products that wasn't available. Mm-hmm. That was the early days. Now we spread a little out, so we don't do ventilation systems anymore. There are others who do that, but we focus now more on fenestration. So it's not just punched hole or wood aluminum clad windows. We do curtain walls like we do on this project. We do frameless windows. So we do the whole breadth of leading edge window technology in combination. And as such, we're probably a unicorn in North America still. People, you know, have heard of us, never seen us. So you have now a project that actually is available to see what that we actually did and can say, yeah, they were here. We had unicorn sighting in Kane, Pennsylvania.
We have proof of you right now.
Yeah, there
get your
you go.
Picture before you
whatever
go.
That means. Anyway, so that's kind of like the thing. I also started a non-for-profit, the 2000 Watt Society, as a I call it world holder investment in local climate change. So if you get 500 of you together and each one invests $100, we do a framework, a climate framework plan for your community. We have done one for the city of Minneapolis. So we were, you know what I mean? So I know how pioneering is with one or two people. We're rare and we are, it's kind of hard out there. But nonetheless, it is a lot of fun. Yep.
That's yeah, you do have lots of hats that you wear then.
I do.
So we're glad that you're here today. And so you're talking about how you specialize in passive house windows and doors. And that's important because what I'm learning is passive house is a lot about those passive components that will end up saving a lot of the energy. Whether it's air sealing the walls or how you install windows that are really are of this high quality. And I know we really try, and Joel from the West Penn Power Sustainable Energy Fund has worked really hard to utilize a lot of local contractors, local materials. But these big windows, the ones that are going in here this week, they're from Germany, and your company is the one that got them here for us. So how is it that you got involved with the Kane Passive House project?
Yeah, so two things. How I got involved, I think Gary called me.
And so Gary's our architect.
Gary is the architect. Since 2006, we have annual Passive House conferences, right? They grew from like 20 from the first to now 1,000 plus. I was very involved in and I helped to organize the first 10, 15. And so there is a core of early adapters, which is a pretty close-knit network. We know each other well and have helped each other through the pioneering aspect. You know, if you're out there in new land, it's a help infrastructure as a network. Now it's too many, but that's how I met Gary years ago, and he asked me if we can help him. So that's how I got to the project. If you go to windows, and why would one import windows from Germany? That's also a very good question that goes to the heart of the passive house. So the passive house has an energy target for heating. And to achieve the energy target for heating, there are numerous things you have to do very well. The most critical one is the building envelope. I mean, anybody in cold country knows that you don't walk around with a t-shirt at 10, 20 below, that a good down jacket, you know, is a critical component. And so windows are a part of that building envelope. And the typical standard passive house window has a center of glass R value of 10. You get an Energy Star glass window that has R 3.5. Oh. And if you get to your normal store and you get by a two-pane glass window inexpensively at any of the big outlets here, you're probably in a two. You know what
okay,
I mean?
So you're saying...
the issue is if you take climate change really, really as an important aspect of your life, the key aspect is efficiency. You need to dramatically improve efficiency. And what the passive house really demonstrates nicely in cold climate is that you can reduce heating energy by 90%. Mm-hmm. I mean, in a single family home in the depth of Minnesota, I can heat a 2,000 square foot average house with two hair dryer.
Oh, geez.
Okay.
That's so pretty dramatic, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you
That's
go and buy,
example.
You know, and two hair dryers will heat that at 30 below. So the thing is, to do that, the windows become two things. Number one, they actually help you heat the building. So my south-facing glass at 30 below outside have an inside surface temperature of about 60 degrees Fahrenheit. So they don't have any frost or condensation or even ice on them. That's number one. The second thing is the sun will give you more heat through that glass. I mean, in Minnesota, I know that for a fact, right? By our PHPP, that's our simulation tool, that I get about twice as much heating energy free from the sun through the window than I lose at night through R-value losses, mm-hmm. right? And so basically it's the heater of the house.
Right, and those are windows that are not even made in the United States, which is why you had to go, we had to go to Germany.
So the tricky part on the window is that not that they not could be made in the United States, but so the glass is glass, right? Mm-hmm. So you can get glass, you can get the coating. There's slight quality differences, not that critical. But the most critical piece is the glass spacer. The glass spacer in the thickness we use it is non-standard, and nobody carries them in stock, and nobody will carry them in stock if there's not enough volume to of purchases. Mm-hmm. So by default, you can only buy that glass in Europe. That's the first thing. The passive house then has a certain requirement on the window frame as an insulation. And the way the frame is installed into the exterior wall. So we over-insulate that frame to improve even that performance. And all these pieces together, it's almost impossible to get that. Even if you go that there are importers of passive house frames now in the PVC plastic, right, thing. But if you ask them for the glass specification, and we tried it now numerous times, even in Canada, right? And the Canadians, some come closer than the state, actually. But we don't get the glass. And until we get the glass, we basically just need to buy it from overseas mm-hmm. if you want to achieve that outcome.
Okay,
you know
so
what I mean?
So Gary reached out, our architect, Gary Mosier, reached out to you. And Gary actually has a sister in Kane, just to plug the little Kane connection here. Linda Lorenzo is Gary Mosier's sister, who Gary is based in Pittsburgh, and he's the architect for this project. So Gary's the one that reached out to you, and you helped arrange for these passive house standard high quality windows to be shipped over literally on a boat, right?
Yep.
From Germany to the New York Harbor,
yep.
where they sat. And everyone fretted about when will they get here? And they finally got here. And again, you were so instrumental in that. So what were your initial thoughts when Gary reached out to you about this particular project here in Kane, Pennsylvania? This retrofit commercial passive house in a building from the 1800s. What did you think when you talked to him about this project initially?
Well, the first thing is it's unique because it is an 18th century retrofit on a main street. So I don't know actually offhand any other of that. So that to me is already exciting because so doing a new building is one thing, doing a retrofit, you know, is another. It's typically more complicated because of the existing condition. And I know Norm, who just sits next to me, can probably tell you many stories what the challenges were that I'm not aware of, but he probably in detail more than he wants to or likes to. Nonetheless, so that was the first one. The second thing, which I didn't understand until I actually arrived here, was the history of the building. I always wondered why Caen, because when I looked up in Google Caen, you know, it's not a place one would go or would, well, we call us in the Midwest the flyover zone. So I don't know if you already belong to it or not, but I feel, and I tell any European that he has to come to see the real America. He has to come to the flyover zone, yeah, and drive through it because that's where the real Americans live. They don't live on the coast. Yeah, but I don't know if that's true. That's my personal opinion.
We call it the star in the forest. Okay, is how we refer to our town.
All right. See? So I know now where to direct them.
Yes. But yeah, so you saw where it was located, yep, in the middle of the woods.
Yeah.
And probably that was a surprise because do most of these passive houses happen more in the urban areas?
Well, naturally... I mean, most of them are either retrofits or new construction single-family homes, mm-hmm, because of the dedication of the person. Mm-hmm. So it's an individual effort. And I see here, you know, now knowing Joel and the group around it, I see it seems similar just now on a commercial level. It's never a collective effort. Typically, it's somebody who has either one reason or the other wants to really demonstrate a leading edge, you know, and takes that path because it's not an easy path to do this, mm-hmm, right? So you have to have the strength a little wherewithal and tenacity, and you know what it all takes to do pioneering work. I mean, it has to be a little in your character.
So could we say, is it safe to say Joel's a unicorn too?
Probably. So maybe it's not just elk sightings you go for at these days, I've learned, but I guess Caen is now the unicorn sighting.
I think so. So we were talking earlier about these windows and how they're specifically made there's a lot of unique components to them, which is why we had to get them from Germany. And I've heard the term curtain wall. When we're talking about these windows, they're a curtain wall. Could you explain what that means? Because I think that was the first time I'd heard that phrase was with this project. And if you could kind of explain to those of us who might not have a background in passive house, what does it mean that a window is a curtain wall?
Yeah, I can do that. So curtain wall is structural glazing. It's typically used in commercial skyscrapers are all curtain walls because you basically span glass from floor to floor or from structure to structure, and the frame can withhold structural loads like wind loads and glass loads larger than typical residential windows can, or punched hole or storefronts, right, Norm? Would you agree? So that's kind of like the critical piece. And then here in this particular case, as you see then with your office, right, you have a rather thick wall and you have a steel frame, which is the structure on inside, and a lot of insulation is outbound of that. And so then the question really was, and Gary wanted the glass on the outside, right? How do you hang the glass way out there without having thermal bridges or big steel pieces holding that glass out there, and that's what a structural or a curtain wall can do. Mm-hmm. It basically can span all this and become the structure holding the glass out there. And here it's wood, but you could do the same thing in steel or aluminum. Wood was an aesthetic choice, right? Mm-hmm. And so you can come and see it when it's done or while walking by. So my son is installing it, and he does not like people walking underneath equipment because it's kind of dangerous. And when he will put glass in, he'll probably scream at you to go across the sidewalk. But that's just
for life safety.
Yeah, for your own safety. So don't take it personal. Just warn you at the moment.
Give thanks for the heads up.
Yeah, heads up. And actually, it's true heads up.
So just to summarize, these windows are one pane of glass, and they're a curtain wall because they're actually part of the structure of the building. They're not just, you know, put in there and they're load bearing, and they help keep the building up.
No, they can. The building is held up by the steel. But because the steel is so far apart, you need structure to hold in between the window up. And you don't have to build wood or a steel structure to hold the window up. Its own construction holds itself up.
And that's a unique component.
Component to curtain walls, yeah.
Got it. Is there anything that you learned on this project in particular? Anything new or different or things that you've seen that you... are newer to you, or is it kind of a similar process everywhere you go for this?
Well, stuff that is new to me is probably very geeky. Here, I'm here at the moment also to see how it goes in, because we have a couple more of these projects, and I like to see if their optimization and not so much in the technology, but in the logistics. Mm-hmm. And that's probably what's kind of new to us is, for example, we probably will go make a pre-visit to the site before the container arrives to understand the logistical situation. Mm-hmm. You know, underestimated this a little bit in this particular case. So we had a hiccup, equipment didn't work either. So we had numerous different things. And so it's more logistical, what I mean? Those kind of things, you know?
Yeah, and that's important.
So on the technical side, it was fun talking to Joel and understand the mission, what he does and why he does. And that to me is always enlightening to see, you know, and that's the learning thing that I know. It doesn't really matter where you go, but you've always find, you know, same-minded or kind of people, mm-hmm. who like and try, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. to pioneer for whatever reason. And that to me is always, fun, and I enjoy it. And, you know, now kind of hopefully toward the end of COVID, we have more time again to talk to each other.
Yeah, that's great. Those are great things. So, when did you get to Kane?
We came Thursday, so yesterday, a week ago.
Okay, so you've been here a little over a week now.
Yeah.
You've kind of gotten a chance to see our community a
yes.
little bit. Do you think that this building will impact our community?
Well, the building is the building itself. Like any other building, it becomes probably a good neighbor, and you probably more or less just live with it and you won't recognize it. I think if you go in and out, you know, and with all the education or the program aspects of it, it might take a little more active role than others. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people don't speak, buildings don't speak back. So you might have to ask questions, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Except people like Norm, or professionals will walk by, you know, like Norm or me, you know, and say, okay, they got goofy window, take a closer look, or goofy doors are goofy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or whatever you call it, you know? And so we take a closer look and might ask. But other than that, I think it'll be a nice new building in the row of old buildings in Kane, and mm-hmm. hopefully become a good neighbor.
Yeah, I definitely think that's going to happen. So, well, thank you for taking time to talk. Before we wrap up, is there anything else that you wanted to say?
Yeah, the two guys installing the windows, those are my sons, Seth and Ollie from Tanner Construction. And as I said, if Seth is screaming down, that's just because...
he cares about you.
Yeah, he cares about you. And other than that, that's pretty much it. You know what I mean? So thanks much.
Yes. Well, I'm so happy our paths crossed and we got this opportunity to hear from you about those windows, because I know there's a lot of curiosity about those. So thanks for your contribution to this project and thanks for your time today. And we'll be seeing you around here for a few more days. And hopefully you'll come back to visit the Star in the Forest again. And we'll have another unicorn sighting in the Star in the Forest.
Thanks much.
All right. Take care.
If you'd like to hear more from those involved in the progress at Kane's Passive House, listen again next week at this time or visit WXUIradio.com.